We're going to continue on this morning with our series, This Person of Interest. And today we're going to be looking at a miracle that we talked about back in March. You know, as we encourage you to study the Bible, and as we also study the Bible, it's always important for us to understand that the Bible is not like a novel or obviously a fiction book or something that we can just read once and then put it on our shelf and we're done with it, because after all, we've read it. The Bible is something that's fluid. It's something that's there for you to wherever you are, whatever you're going through. The Bible will say different things to you. The words are the same, but as you read them, there'll be certain parts of that passage that maybe jumps out at you personally. And then maybe the last time you read that, you were at a different place in life, and that wasn't the case. So I imagine that most of us this morning have read about the miracle of feeding the 5,000, or we've at least heard it. Pastor Jeff spoke about this back in March. And when he spoke on this miracle of feeding the 5,000, the whole time that as he was teaching, my mind was wandering and thinking about a different part of that message than maybe even he was speaking of at the time. And I couldn't help it, but what really was coming to my mind during that message was the little boy. And I just started thinking about this person in this story, this little boy, and the role that he played in this miracle. And so I was hoping to have an opportunity at some time to dig deep and to learn more about this boy. Now, this is not it's one of those subjects that I think there's only a verse or two in the whole Bible about him. But it is something that if you dig deep, you can find out. And just like when I said that you'll read certain parts of the Bible that will jump out at you, this jumped out at me, and it intrigued me, and I wanted to know more and study deeper about this little boy and how he pertained to this miracle. You know, I believe that this boy had already heard about Jesus. The word was traveling fast. He lived in this community, and he had heard that there was this Jesus man that was going throughout the local area. He was healing the sick, raising the dead. He was doing all kinds of miraculous things. And I believe this boy knew, or at least had heard, about this Jesus. And he wanted to go and be part of the crowd. He wanted to at least be able to look out and see him. And so he asked his mom if he could go. And, of course, she did allow him to go. But she did not want to send him out empty-handed. It was going to be a long day. So she packed him a lunch. Well, she packed him these 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Scholars believe that there was a poor family, and the reason they believe that he was from a poor family was because the barley was a very inexpensive grain, and so people who really didn't have much money, that's what they made their bread out of. And when you get a picture of this lunch, you can kind of see that it wasn't this big lunch. You know, sometimes in our mind, we read this account, and we think, well, 5 loaves of bread, you know, 5 fish, you know, a normal-sized bass or a big fish. And we're thinking this little boy is going out there with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. There's no way he's going to eat all that. That's a lot of food, right? But in reality, when we take a look at the food that he took with him, it's a lot different than that. And I'm going to open this lid, so if it smells, I'm sorry. I'll put the lid back on as soon as I can. But this is going to be an example of what this boy took with him. This is the fish. It would be about this size. This is a sardine, which I can't stand sardines. I know some of you love them. On the first service, when I was putting this together, Bob Allison said that he loves sardines, so I gave him the rest of the can. But that's about the size of the fish that this boy took. And then as far as the bread goes, he had 5 barley loaves, and this would be about a loaf that he took with him. This is one, so there was 5 of these little loaves. So again, that's what he took with him as his lunch. And that's fine. I mean, that's what the boy had, and that was his lunch, and his mom made it for him, and that would suffice for him that day. Which, as you can see, this is not a seafood buffet or all-you-can-eat crab legs. This is not a great big meal, and we're talking about feeding a lot of people. But there was a reason that this meal was small, and you'll see that in a little while. As we set up this account this morning, and we look at the fact of what was happening before this episode took place. You remember the story of John the Baptist and how close John the Baptist was to Jesus? Well, right before this happened is when John the Baptist, he was beheaded. Remember the story? They wanted one thing that you want, and she said, I'd like the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And so the king had him beheaded. And that's what happened. And the disciples were there to help bury John the Baptist. And now they are back together with Jesus after that happened. And I'm sure Jesus was very sorrowful. He was sad because he loved John the Baptist. His ministry had been in about the second year of his ministry by the time this account took place. Many people were following Jesus. They had heard about him. They had heard that he was healing the sick. He was doing all these miraculous things. So he had a big following of people because they loved to see what he was going to do next. You see, they wanted to make Jesus king. And that went on all the way to the crucifixion. Instead of looking at him as their savior, they looked at him as he must be the next king. And that's what they wanted. But here's where the account really gets going. The disciples and Jesus, they get into a boat. Now, they want to get away so that they can study and pray. And there's this crowd of people always around them. And they can't get away and they can't study. So they get in a boat. They start heading out across the sea. And they kind of cut the corner of the lake. And as they do, they can look out and they can see this crowd starting to follow the boat around the shore. So Jesus looks at that and he knows that they're coming. And it's just a matter of time before they're going to be there as well. And he has compassion on these folks. He knows that they had spent all day following him. And that by the time they got there, they were going to be tired and they were going to be hungry. And Jesus knew there was nothing there to feed them. And he had compassion for what he saw. He already had put together a plan of how he was going to take care of that. But you think the disciples by that time would have had more faith, but they didn't. They didn't understand, even though they had been with Jesus for 2 years, every day, following him around, watching him perform miracles, watching him heal people, and yet they still did not have the faith they should have had. So let's take a look at this account. We find this in John 6, 1 through 13. But before we read this passage, would you bow with me in prayer? Father, I just thank you for this word that you've given to us. I pray that right now as we read your word, that, Lord, you will let it sink in to each one of us. Help us to find the message in this passage that you want us to hear. It may be different for each one of us, but I pray whatever it is, that you'll help us to hear your words and help them to go to our heart and to our mind. In your name I pray. Amen. So let's take a look at this passage. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs that he had performed on the sick. And then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have one bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But Lord, how far will this go amongst so many?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." And there was plenty of grass in the place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same thing with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. So Jesus, now he sees the situation, and he obviously, it's clear what the problem is, right? This is what they have to eat, and they're there's 5,000 men and their families, probably 20,000 people. And it's a food problem, right? It's a lack of food. That's the situation we're involved in. And that lack of food, we got to do something to fix that. But you know what? It really wasn't that. It really wasn't a lack of food problem. Even though there wasn't any Al's or Kroger's or Walmart's or McDonald's or even Burger King's anywhere near, they couldn't call Jimmy John's and get it freaky fast delivered enough to feed 20,000 people. It wasn't a food problem or a shortage of food problem. What they had that day was a lack of faith problem. Same kind of problem we have today in a lot of cases. We lack faith. How often do we look at problems in our own life and miscalculate them? We think it's one thing and really it's something else altogether. After 2 years of these disciples watching and listening to Jesus, they still did not have the faith that they needed to solve the problem. They watched Jesus as he calmed the sea with just the command of his voice. They watched as he healed the woman that we talked about a couple weeks ago. He made the mute able to speak. He raised the girl from the dead. He healed the blind so that they could see once again. They looked at this problem, the disciples, and they had their quick answer. And their answer, they had three different answers in this situation, none of which were right. But the first one was, well, you know, same thing we might do. Lord, make it go away. Send those people back to where they came from because then they can get fed. We don't have any food here for them. So send them home. Make them disappear. That is what we try to do sometimes when we face big problems, isn't it? We might bury our head in the sands and hope that it goes away. We lack faith that Jesus has the answer, that Jesus can solve that problem, whatever it may be, no matter how big it may be. Well, the second solution was from Philip. You know, Philip was kind of the mathematician or the calculator, the money guy. And so Philip brings out the old calculator, and he starts adding it up. He looks at this meal. He sees these five little loaves. He sees the two fish. He looks out in the crowd and he sees 5,000 men and all their families, probably 20,000 people or more, and he calculates it and he says, there is no way that this is going to feed all them. What are you thinking, Jesus? You have to recalculate things. This is not going to work. This is not going to be enough food for all these people. It would take us 8 months of our salaries to even give them a bite of this. You know, you read that and you think about that and it sounds pretty familiar. You know, it sounds familiar because we say the same thing sometimes. Lord, I don't have enough money for that. I can't tithe. Or I can't give to the poor or go on the mission field. Or I can't give my time and talent. I'm too busy. The cost is just too high, Jesus. I don't have it. Or maybe it's more like I don't have anything to give to you, Lord. I don't have enough. Really? Look at this. Is this enough? This is not enough. Boy gave it anyway. Churches do the same thing. Churches sometimes say, well, we can't hire anybody else or build onto the building or invest in the future of our children. We don't have enough money. You know, you tell us to give to the poor, but you know, what about us? We're poor too. But I want to say right here, I want to say to all of you that I don't know that we have that problem necessarily here. We have a wonderful group of people in this church that are very willing to give to what they need to give to. People that have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not afraid to step out and do the things you need to do. And so I want to commend you on that. I want to commend you on that kind of faith. But a lot of churches and a lot of people do not have that kind of faith. So basically, the disciples' answer was, so what are we to do, Lord? We don't know what to do. But the good news in this account is that Jesus had the solution. He always has the answer to the impossible situations that we find ourselves in, doesn't he? We look at what we have and think it's not enough to make a difference. That's not what we see happening in this account, is it? I'm fairly sure that the boy knew that his lunch would not feed over 5,000 men and their families. But he had faith that Jesus could make it work. So he, this little boy, gave all that he had. He didn't keep it back for himself. He didn't say, well, Lord, you know what? I've only got 5 loaves of bread, and this is my dinner. So here's 3. I'll keep 2. Here's a fish, and I'll keep 1, and I'll share what I have with you. No. This little boy handed it all to Jesus. He gave everything he had. He didn't know if he was going to get fed or not, but he didn't care. He trusted the Lord. And that's the key point this morning as we look at this miracle, is that this little boy gave all that he had because he trusted and had faith in Jesus Christ. You see, every one of us in this room today as a Christ follower has something to give to Jesus. We all do. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about our lives. We're willing to say, Lord, here I am, take me. All that I have. Yeah, my money's one of it, my possessions or whatever I might have, my talents, my gifts. Here I am, Lord, take me and use me to do a mighty work. I don't have much, but what I have is yours. It's that attitude that that boy had that we should strive for. You know, Jesus can do big things with little gifts. We look at the Bible and some of the teachings there. Look at Moses. I don't know if you realize, but Moses had problems speaking in front of other people. He was not a public speaker. He didn't like to do that. But look what God did with Moses, even though he was like that. He used Moses in a mighty way. Look at David, little King David. He wasn't a king yet. He was just a young man. And he saw this great big giant, Goliath. And what did he use to kill Goliath? A little rock and a slingshot. That's what he used. But for God, that was enough. It's all God needed. Because it was about God and what God could do. You know, we look at the poor widow who gave all out of her poverty. All that she had, she gave. We think about a young man named Billy who was willing to give what he had to the Lord. And then we look at what God did through that man. Millions and millions of people have heard the gospel from Billy Graham. Or the story of Jim Elliot, who lost his life as a missionary. But then his wife went back and was able, because of that, to witness to and help win souls of so many people because of what Jim Elliot gave. And you know, the story could go on and on. There's so many examples in the Bible of how God took a little gift and used it in a mighty way. You know, every church in America probably has stories of how Jesus worked his mighty ways through someone who was willing to say, Lord, here I am, take what I have. And stories could be told about how churches were turned around because of people like that. But we also at the same time need to understand a point, and that is that God does not need what we have. God didn't need this lunch. He would have found a different way to feed those 20,000 people. So God doesn't necessarily need what we want, but if we are willing to give it when he asks, he will bless it in a mighty way because Jesus wants us to have faith in him. Even if we think it's not enough, God can still use it to do great things. When we give up all we have, then all we have is Jesus. We have to put our trust and faith in him because we've given all the rest of it away. There's really a simple plan to this. Not simple to live out, but simple to understand. When it comes to understanding this subject, we need to understand that, number one, Jesus will ask something for something that we have. Every single one of us here today, at some point in your life, if he hasn't done it already, Jesus will ask you for something that you have. And when he does, we should give Jesus what he's asking for. Give it away to him. And then Jesus will use what you give to him, and Jesus will bless what he uses. There will be 12 baskets left over when we're willing to give Jesus what he asks for. Jesus is not what we need. Jesus is more than we need in every single example. He's far greater than we give him credit for. He's far bigger than we can even imagine. God is God, and he is the great creator of this universe. You know, in closing this morning, let me share with you what's been on my heart ever since Pastor Jeff spoke about this back in March. And what's been on my heart is this person of interest, this unknown person, this boy, and what he gave to Jesus. You see, this boy had never met Jesus. He just heard of him. He had not sat under his teaching for 2 years or followed him and watched as Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. He was not a disciple. He was just a little boy who had faith in Jesus and was obedient enough to give Jesus what he asked for, his lunch. Can you imagine for a moment? Just go there with me. Imagine this little boy that day, at the close of the day. Andrew come up, said, "Hey, you've got some food here. Come with me." The little boy goes over to Jesus, and he gives Jesus this food. Jesus takes it. He prays. He thanks God. I'm sure he's saying, "Thank you, Lord, for this little boy who had enough faith to give me his lunch today. I pray blessing upon this food." And the next thing you know, there's not only enough food to feed 20,000 people, there's 12 baskets left over. So now this day's over, and the boy goes home. Can you imagine what that's like? I mean, it's giving me goosebumps just thinking about it. I'm sure he ran all the way home, threw the door open, and said, "Mom, Mom, you'll never guess what happened to me today." Can you just picture that? "I went to just see Jesus in the crowd, but you know what, Mom? I got to walk right up to him. I got to talk to Jesus. I got to touch Jesus. Jesus, you won't believe what he did with the meal you gave me. He took those 5 small loaves and 2 little bitty fish, and he fed 5,000 men and all their families with it, Mom. You would have not believed it." And I'm sure that the excitement was just rolling over inside of him. It would be probably for us as well. And then we don't know what happened to that boy. Like I said, there's 1 or 2 verses in the whole Bible. So we don't know whether he died at a young age or whether he lived to be an old man. But go with me for a moment and let's just assume that he lived to be an older man. Can you imagine that one day when he had the grandkids over to the house and he's sitting on a rocking chair on the porch and he calls his grandchildren over. "Come on, come on, come here. I got to tell you something." And he goes, "Come sit on my lap." And the kids come and they sit on Grandpa's lap and he says, "I want to tell you about a story. I want to tell you about what happened to me a long time ago when I was about your age. I was able to go and try to see Jesus. I hoped to get a glimpse of him. I just hoped to be able to see him in the crowd. But instead of that, I got to go up to Jesus, talk to Jesus, touch Jesus. And you know what? Kids, he took my lunch. I had 5 little loaves of bread and 2 little fish, and Jesus took them and fed 20,000 people." And you can imagine those kids are saying, "Yeah, Grandpa, sure. I bet they did." But you know, the excitement that was in him, I'm sure, was just overwhelming because he had a story to tell, a real live example of how God touched his life, how God took his willingness to give and used it in such a way that we would never imagine. It's the miracle that was found in all 4 Gospels. No other miracle was found in all 4 Gospels. You think it might have been important? You see, Jesus worked through this little boy. He worked through his willingness to give. And that is something that should touch all of us. And it touched me for sure. Now we ask the question, well, who got the blessing that day? Was it the people who got to eat? No. The next day they woke up hungry again, just like we would. Was it the disciples? Did they get the blessings? No. They didn't get it because they had no faith. But they let a little boy who had never met Jesus before, he's the one that I think got the blessing that day. So here we are today, and we're talking about this story about this little boy who we don't even know his name, over 2,000 years ago took place. that just grab you? I mean, we're lucky to remember people's names of situations that happened to us a couple years ago. But here's a situation where we are still talking about this boy 2,000 years later. Why? Because he truly is a person of interest. He truly was a boy who gave it all to Jesus. And as we look at this small boy who had this kind of faith, I can tell you what it does to me. It causes me to want to be like that little boy. I want to give what I have when Jesus asks for it. I don't have much to give. I don't have that many talents, that many skills, that much ability. But what I want to do is to be able to give what I have to the Lord when he asks. And I realize that he doesn't need me. He doesn't need me to give what I have. But I also realize that if I'm willing to give what I have, he will use it in a great and awesome way. He will use it to help build my faith. Because I have to have faith when I give it all away. I have to have faith that he would take care of me. That he would grow my faith. I want to see what Jesus can do through me. My prayer for each of you today is that you too will give Jesus what you have. That you'll give him your lunch, or whatever it is that he asks for. So that you too can see him work in a mighty way in your life. So you too can have that faith, strong faith, like that little boy. So all of us, we need to drop the excuses, the what-ifs, the worry, the it's not enough to make a difference statements that we make. We just need to follow those four simple steps that I spoke about earlier. We need to remember that Jesus will ask for something that we have. And when he does, we should give Jesus what he's asking for. And then Jesus will use that gift in a mighty way, and he will bless it in a mighty way. There'll be plenty left over of those blessings. Remember, we all have something to give. We all can have a story to tell. I hope that every one of us here today would want to have a story to tell our children, to tell our grandchildren, about how God grabbed a hold of you one day and made a difference in your life. How you got to see him, hear from him, understand him, and how it affected you. And then just stand back and watch him work. But we have to be willing to give it for him to do that. Doesn't matter how much you have to give. That's not the point at all. See, it wouldn't have mattered. He could have come there that day with 20 fish and 100 loaves of bread, and it still wouldn't have fed 20,000 people. See, it didn't matter the size of his gift. What mattered is that he was willing to give it all. That's what he's calling us to today. The story of the young boy can be our story too. We all need to have a story of how Jesus touched our lives and worked through us. So my question to all of us today is, what is your story? That's what we got to figure out. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your word, because once again, Lord, when we dig deep, we find meanings in this word that maybe we missed the first time. We find examples that maybe we had really never thought about before. And Lord, I know in this parable and this miracle of feeding the 5,000, that we've looked at all the different angles of it, but Lord, I know for me myself, I had never really examined the boy, this unknown person of interest. So Lord, I know it touched me. I pray that it touched others. I pray, Lord God, that each one of us will be willing to give what we have to you. And then to stand back and just watch you use it in a great and mighty way. Just pray, Lord, that you'll bless us in that endeavor. In your name I pray.